Recording in progress.
Yeah. That's okay. That's cool. That sounds like it's an... I like that little...
Recording in progress. This is Swing Thoughts.
There's a sentiment on all... Well, everyone, it's golf spiritual leader. That's me. Along with Coach Tim O'Connor. He's the guy over there with the Guelph Griffins hoodie on, looking kind of cool, you know? Yeah, that's right. How did your gig go? I was going to go, but then I got sick.
Oh, it was amazing. Thank you. Absolutely amazing. In about the 6 or 7 years I've been in this band, it was the best. We played the Lindsmore Tavern on Danforth.
Wow.
In Tirana.
In the big city.
In the big smoke. There's about 70 people, many of whom traveled, you know, from far-flung places like Aurora, Burlington, Milton, to hear vintage punk rock.
Wow.
And the place was packed. People danced and sang. It was so, so fun. You could tell that these were real punk fans because you know how they have, like, what you call deep cuts on an album?
Yeah,
have, like, Clash, yeah. Should I Stay, Should I Go,
yeah,
sort of,
that.
You know, top 10 stuff. And then we did these other songs like Tommy Gunn, and they knew, like, every word. And so we played 3 sets, 4-to-1 songs, if you're kidding.
Wow.
And 4 encores. So,
come on.
Yeah.
Now, what about the groupies, Tim? Was there some groupies there? Were there some old groupies? You know, I guess you guys are all in your 60s, but in your world, be like, I really loved your band. And then they hand you some cookies that they made.
they wrapped in a doily.
That's right. I made you some best fresh baked sausage rolls. Well, I'm really happy for you, man. Yeah, I'm really happy for you, man. I forgot. I just remembered now that you had the gig. And I remember at some point, because I like you, and, you know, whenever I have an opportunity to hang out with you, I remember looking at your poster, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just show up and surprise the Timmer, because the Danforth in Toronto is, it's a bit of a hike for me, but I could make it.
Yeah.
And then, this is the truth, then I've just been in the throes of this death cold I've had now for, this is day 16.
You know, it's a cold when you count the days.
Tim, I'm telling you right now, I've never had anything like this. And
In all your days on this world.
And I want to be completely transparent. You know, this podcast is all about the real talk, authenticity. That it was a sexually transmitted disease that I got from my girlfriend.
You're going to confuse the STDs now.
3 weeks ago, she spent the weekend here, and she was just getting over this cold. And I was all like, I don't care, you know, okay, but let's work through it. Well, you know, it's like a golfer. Like, I don't care if it's raining a little, I'll play. So, and it turned out, you know, it was a bit of a light drizzle for the weekend. I played every chance I got that weekend. Are you still with me on the analogy?
Yeah.
And at the end of the weekend, after several rounds, I proclaimed, I was joking with her. I said, you know what? I don't care if I do get the cold. It was all worth it. And then about the middle of the second week, I went, maybe it wasn't worth it.
That's right.
And then at the beginning of the third week, I'm like, it was definitely not worth it.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that analogy. The golf analogy is like, really, I shouldn't tee off today. And it's kind of like, you know, I really shouldn't do this, but my basic desires are getting in the way.
Well, and you get, and at our age, you're like, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then again, how many more chances am I going to get to play this course? You know.
I mean, could be dead tomorrow.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, and it's like...
Could have a stroke, could have an aneurysm.
Like the starter's right there, and she's saying, "There's the tee is open." And I'm like, well, I should take it now, because you never know if that tee's going to be open. What if there's...
There you go.
What if there's a delay or something? I can't.
Yeah, but also, did you worry about falling and breaking your hip?
Always. Anyway, so maybe some of you listeners have had this.
I'm going to let Freddie in the room. I'll be right back.
Let the Fred man in. That's his dog, by the way, not Fred Patterson. Yeah, go let Freddie in.
Okay, well.
It's the world's most casual podcast. Anyway, now that Tim's gone, what I was talking about is sex. Did you all get that analogy? Anyway, I've had this cold now for the better part of 3 weeks, and I will say this: I should have gone to the doctor earlier. I should have gone to seek professional help earlier, because you know when you get a cold, you go, "Well, it's just a cold," and day three or four of the cold, you go, "Well, surely this will dissipate at some point." And then the second week, I thought, well, you know, this is ridiculous. And there was a kind of cold. It is the kind of cold where it was like a head cold, headache, sore throat, runny nose constantly, coughing, sneezing, hacking. And there's a Toronto television personality from Breakfast TV. I think she used to work on Dina Puglisi or whatever. She just posted something a couple days ago, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah. And she basically said the same thing I just said. It's one of those things where at first you think it's just a cold, but then it just never goes away. And so I finally, 2 days ago, got some antibiotics. And it's now...
Oh, the old antibiotics.
Oh, yeah. And now it's just starting to... This is easily the best I've felt in a couple of weeks. And I'm
well,
fine.
I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Much better.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not out of the woods yet, Tim. Anyway, let's get to
golf. Do you see a little opening there? If you just get a little draw down underneath the branch, you'll get through.
What was the controversy I saw online yesterday? Brad Faxon was talking about some hole at TPC where you have to go through some trees. The trees are overhanging. I saw some controversy.
I didn't peruse that.
Okay. Well, listen, let's get to golf today. Welcome. This is Swing Thoughts. We're getting ready on. This is our last. No, it's not. No, yeah, I think it will be. I'm going away. Yeah, because I'm going away. Yeah. Next week, I'm going back to Mexico for a couple weeks. So this will be our last episode of the winter season where we're just... See, in the off season, we just piss around. We just joke around. We just... You know, we're going to get serious soon. Okay?
We're gonna bring our A game. We're gonna go to the range. We're gonna work on a. We're gonna work on our stuff.
We're gonna. This is all. This is just fun. Wait till we get serious.
When it matters.
When it matters. The we'll do that show the week I get back April 5th, which I think is a Saturday, 6th Sunday, 7th Monday, 8th Monday. Like the 9th of April will be the beginning of the 10th season.
Yeah, because that
of Swing Thoughts.
Yes, because the Masters, yes, starts that week. Yeah, because the women's amateur is on the Saturday the 5th. 6th is the National Drive, Chip, and Putt Contest. And Masters Week officially starts on Monday the 7th. So there you go.
And it lines up perfectly. So in the 9th of April will be the beginning of Season 10.
Mm-hmm. Season X.
That's right. So I will have just a quick update from the sales department. I really don't want to get into this too much because it's. I will say this: it was one of the most aggravating experiences I've ever had as a certainly as a head of sales for Swing Thoughts, and also in my other capacity in trying to sell the Humble and Fred show. And all I'll say is this: it's a small world. It's a small world that Tim and I occupy. The world of golf in Toronto, in Southern Ontario, in Canada. Small world. We all know the same people. And in November, I was given a contact. And I followed up with that contact. And that contact put me onto some other contact. And that contact kept telling me, assuring me that at some point they would have time to talk to us about possible sponsorship. And I just kept getting pushed aside and ghosted. At one point, I called in another person. This is how, again, I don't want to sound like I'm whining, but there's going to be a tiny bit of whining.
You're a sales professional.
At some point, a couple weeks ago, I called in another mutual friend of ours, someone that you know well as I do. And I said, hey, man, do you know this guy? And he goes, oh, do I? Of course I know him. I hired him. I said, well, could you let him know that you know me and Tim and that, you know, at least stop being a fucking dick and just respond. Like, seriously, we don't like, I'm just going to tell you, in the grown-up world, saying no is fine. Just say it.
Yep.
So I said, could you maybe let them know that we're just a little frustrated, you know? Anyway, so nothing happened. And finally, this is what I wrote yesterday. Hello, names I won't use. I don't know what to say. Except, and by the way, I know what I'm about to read you is unprofessional, but I don't care. And I'm a bit woozy because I'm on a lot of drugs. Hello, guys. I don't know what to say except my constant hounding of you is just embarrassing. I reached out in November, and now it's March, and still nothing from you. You know, we know a lot of the same people, and I would have thought that I might get a response, even if that response was no. Good luck with the upcoming season, and I promise this will be the last time you hear from me. But, but, I'm not 100% sure it'll be the last time that I bring it up.
I'm not a man of my word.
No. Oh, no, I promise you. I am a man of my word when it comes to I will never contact them again. But I will throughout the season hint at the company I don't want you to buy their products from.
Yep.
And some
that's
of those
fair. That's fair.
So absolutely. I won't come out. I haven't decided exactly how that what form that will take, but I think I'm going to find a way to drop little hints into every episode of the people that we recommend you don't buy their products. Leave it with me.
I think that's fair. I mean, it's a different world we're in. I don't think that if they're selling the Jack Parr show way back when, they would employ these kinds of tactics. But, you know, it's all fair in love and war and tariffs and all that nonsense these days.
Yeah.
It's a tough world out there. Bare knuckle.
I'm going to put a psychological tariff on this company. Now, we haven't got a lot of time today, kids, because Mr. O'Connor is a busy coach. He's an executive coach. He's an author. He's a golf coach. And, you know, I thought I'd sent you a note yesterday saying a couple things I wanted to mention. And what about you, young man? What's on your plate these days? What are you working on with your students? What are people struggling with?
Well, I'm reading a very interesting book right now called The Courage to Be Disliked. So I want to get into that, but I want to just address what's been going on and how it's affected people that you know. This whole nonsense with the orange one, the orange buffoon. I know a bunch of people who have an annual golf trip to Myrtle Beach, and this year they ain't doing it. And I've talked to a bunch of friends. Our friend, we both have a mutual friend who's got a place in Florida. And I talked to another friend who was down there. And just say, hanging out with Americans now, it's kind of tense. And so people aren't going there. There's all this, as you know, national pride. And I imagine you're probably somewhat sick of talking about this on your Humble and Fred show.
What are you hearing from your friends? Let me just jump in and say, we did almost 2 hours this morning, and I said to Fred at the end of the show, I said, okay, well, we have to be careful that that's not all we talk about.
Agreed, yeah.
Because it becomes, here's why, because it makes us all feel bad.
It's almost like doom scrolling.
It is, and one of the questions I asked our guest this morning, and I would ask you, and I asked our guest yesterday, how are you feeling? I think we're all feeling a little bit anxious.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yes, that's a little bit. So like, it's like underneath the surface, this sort of low-grade anxiety that's going on because we just don't know. And you get into conversations with people, and it's just, you know, the same kind of oh shit conversation. You know, yeah. I was coaching a wealth manager yesterday, and of course, so today's what, Wednesday, Monday, the markets tank. His phone just explodes all day.
Yeah.
And so that's a drag. You know, and just the whole back. Can you imagine being an auto worker right now, or someone in the steel industry, or whatever? Like, you don't know what the hell's going to go on. And I just think it's this bubbling under of anxiety. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that when their goons dropped their gloves in 9 seconds three times, that we responded and we fucking beat them. But there's still, as I say, this low-grade anxiety that's hanging over the country.
And
me.
Well, yeah, all of us.
I'm trying not to read as much of the newspaper.
Well, that's what everybody's doing. And the thing is, again, I don't want to, I just spent 2 hours talking about it, so I'll just say this. I think that our conclusion today, and it's my conclusion as well, is that I have, you know, I've got to make sure I meditate every day. I got to make sure that I take time to remind myself that I am powerless to make any, like, to do anything. There's nothing other than, you know, taking care of ourselves and our families and our friends. I can't do anything about what, you know, Trumpelstiltskin is doing, whatever. You know, I can have no effect on it. Yeah. All I can do is reduce the effect it has on me, hopefully.
Yep. Yeah.
And yeah, because of the kind of show that we do, Fred and I, you know, yes, I spend the first part of most of my days, Monday through Thursday, when we record, looking at social media, going through the news, what's Trump done, what funny thing, you know, and that's another thing I said to Fred at the end of the show. I said, we got to remember that, you know, because he and I get really intense about this. And I said, mm-hmm. But let's remind ourselves that part of the fun of Trump is what a fucking douchebag he is. So let's find funnier. There's got to be some stuff we can remember to make fun of.
Well, Stephen Colbert manages to do a good job.
Absolutely.
Of that. You know,
yeah, and he's got way better writers than we do.
But I love the what you brought up about meditation. Interesting. So, oddly enough,
yeah,
that's what I wrote about on my Substack last week.
I know, I saw it.
There you go. Because as described in a recent book that I wrote, and Getting Unstuck, 7 Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds. There you go. But meditation, what I talked about was how for a lot of people, I imagine still a lot of our listeners think it's kind of this woo-woo thing, but really, it's such a great way, as you described a few minutes ago, of just kind of grounding yourself and go, you know what, and become aware of that, I'm thinking about this again. Does that really serve me? Do I really want to go down this effing rabbit hole? No. So I'll come back to something else. And that's the beauty of meditation. You just work on your skill. It calms you down and all that good stuff. But I just think it gives us a better handle on, oh, what is my mind doing right now? Oh, it's thinking about that fucking twat Trump.
Pause right now? There's been more swearing on the first 18 minutes of, you know what it is? It's one of these off-season shows where we just go bananas. You're swearing,
I think it's the Trump stuff and the underlying anxiety that we've unleashed.
It's ridiculous. I'm embarrassed for both of us. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Getting Unstuck, yes, it's funny because I do get your Substack, quite enjoy it. And I saw your note about meditation. And with me, I have been doing less guided, went through a real guided phase. Now I'm unguided. I'm on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I find that sometimes with the unguided meditation, I go a little longer. Like I can only handle 10 or 15 minutes of somebody talking to me while I meditate. And it's fine. It's even if that's all you can do, do it. But when I do a longer meditation and I just put on meditation music and you know, all that stuff, I find that I seem to go longer, and maybe I drift in and out of sleep, or maybe whatever it is, I just find myself being able to sit with myself for a little bit longer.
Yeah, because it feels so good.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely. I mean, this morning, I usually meditate, 20 minutes or so. I put on a timer on my phone.
Yep.
And but I did 15 because I a little slept in today. And then when the 15 was over, I went, this is good. I'm going to keep this going.
Yeah.
And I think I probably for another 10 minutes, I didn't look at my phone, but it just felt good. And it's just kind of like it's like an unplugging. And it's just a good place to be. And, I think those are all just lovely bonuses of meditation is the lovely feeling of equanimity.
I love that
word.
Well, yeah. And also, again, back to the idea, and this has been something, it's been a theme on the other show. I've been asking people because I think everybody, I mean, it's one thing, to get into the minutiae of tariffs and how dumb the Americans are that have no idea that the tariffs are on them. Like, I don't know how many times I have to say this on social media. The importing companies are the ones that get the tariffs. But that aside, stupid they are. We all need to. I think we're all walking around going, is this guy really going to take us? Are we really going to have to become the 51st state? We're not.
I know. Because the it does, like, you read a lot of stuff like I do. I mean, years and years ago, I was reading these very doom-laden articles about, well, Canada has a lot of fresh water.
Yeah.
Southern U.S. doesn't have a lot. So, and we have things like uranium and nickel.
And potash.
The potash, these critical minerals and things that they need. So does it eventually come push to shove and say, you know what? I know you don't like us very much, but we're coming to get that shit.
Yeah. All right. So in our remaining moments,
let's move on to mirth and
No, let's move on to golf. This is the week of the Players Championship. I have slowly, over the course of about a month, and maybe part of it is because I've been sick on Sundays and just watching. I've watched a little bit of golf. I've started watching a little bit more. Not as much as I used to, but definitely starting to ramp up again. Really excited for this kid, Michael Kim. I follow him on social media. Amazing.
Oh, he's fun.
He's really,
fun
really good. Yeah. He's not, the reason he's fun, if you're looking for a Twitter follow, is because he really explains what it's like being a guy on the PGA Tour and does a very nice job. And he's had some good finishes recently. So I've been watching that.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of like top three through six or something. Yeah,
done really well.
Five events.
I will turn you on. I know, listen, we don't often do this. There's the proliferation of golf instruction online is crazy. But there's a guy that I came across because of Michael Kim that I think is really, really good. And his name is Joe Mayo.
M-A-O?
Yep. Joseph Mayo is a golf instructor, works with a lot of pros. Pretty down-home, typical American kind of accent. But when it comes to pitching and chipping, he has got some great stuff. Great stuff for amateurs. And Michael Kim, excuse me, famously about a month ago, went to see him. Having a little trouble chipping and pitching. I mean, relative to being a tour player.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I watched him, watched Joe Mayo's lesson with Michael Kim. Very impressive stuff. And I think for the average amateur like us, he's a guy to go to if you're having some issues. Forget having issues. If you just want a nice refresher on the basics of really proper chipping technique.
Let me ask, is he one of those guys that advocates sort of the down and through, the leading edge coming down on the ball, like taking like very shallow divot, or more of a guy who uses the bounce to kind of ride through the turf and collect the ball?
He is a real vertical.
Really?
Really vertical, like talks about the best pitchers and chippers, Justin Thomas, a few other guys. And he talks about how, and he explains it so easily, but basically how good pitcher, Olazabal, Seve, how they come in, that their angle of attack with their wedges, their angle of attack is steeper than amateurs. Amateurs, you say, try and come in too shallow. But he's a real advocate of, like, weight forward, spine forward, and the thing that he does, this thing that Marty Chuck taught me that I don't think enough amateurs do, which is all good pitchers and chippers raise their body up. They raise up through the ball.
Mm.
Anyway, go have a look at it. Go check that out, everybody. The other thing I sent you last night when we talked about today, I said, well, one of the things I wanted to just throw out as we come to the end of the off season, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is the idea of what are some off season changes that are realistic and achievable. And yeah, you know, the off season is still not, like, I mean, it's the 12th of March while we record this. We're not really going to be outside playing full time golf for another couple of months. End of April. Even though we all like to think Masters is when, you know, yeah, but it's still cold and shitty. And so what do you think about that? When I say, what are some off season changes that are realistic and achievable? And what are the kind of things maybe you work on with your kids?
The main thing that I find it come to most of the time is just a heightened target awareness. That just does so much. Because, you know, it's funny, someone will be, you know, hitting balls, they'll warm up, and then they hit three or four. I say, what's your target? Oh, I'm just warming up. And so I always remind them, okay, what's the objective of golf? And so you kind of get to down to this, send the white thing to a target. So it could be, you know, out beside the bunker on the fairway to the green in the hole, et cetera. So it just changes everything when they have a target awareness. So that's just one thing to always, always, right from putting in your, you know, in your hallway to chipping against the couch to winning a sim or just, you know, making swings on a mat in your basement or your garage. I always have a sense of where am I going? Because the target always dictates the shot. So that heightened target awareness. And just the last thing is to really build so that when you come to the golf course, you hit the pavement running with a pre-shot process. You know,
I like that.
The whole, especially the think box, play box piece. Because again, what that does is it allows you to connect to a target. Here's where I'm going. You go through your process of thinking what's the club, committing to the club, the shot. Then you step in and you just hit the damn thing. It becomes like a physical experience. And those are things that I believe and I've seen have a definite positive impact on playing the game, making good decisions, and then hitting good shots because you're committed to a target.
Yeah, and you believe, and those are achievable.
Absolutely,
in the off season,
you can control those things.
Well, again, and there are things you can think about or work on when you're practicing indoors or you're, you know, even in your house, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like one of the greatest exercises you can do is just putt to a target. And look at the target while you're putting. I mean, that's just an old that's an old one, but it just works so much because you just look at the target and putt. And then a good thing to do is let's say you hit 10 or 15 like that, and then you come back and you putt and you look at the ball and putt, and then notice is there a difference?
Yes,
is there a difference between, you know, how much activity you have going, I didn't accelerate or whatever, blah blah blah. That's a great, you know, coming back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago around awareness.
Okay, so I here's what I would say. I love all that. Let me take it the let me go at it sort of backwards. Here's what's not achievable and realistic. I don't think, and this is going to sound controversial maybe to somebody like you that, you know, teaches people golf swing stuff too, I don't think it's realistic between the end of November and the beginning of April or May to really change a lot in your golf swing. I mean, we're talking about a bunch of men and women our age, you know, in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. really how much of the actual DNA paradigm that you occupy in your golf swing. Can't make a lot of, like, I guess what I'm saying is it's not realistic to think you're going to make wholesale changes. I mean, the odd person listening might be, you know, like me, fanatical and is going at it every day and all day long. But the average person, I don't think that's realistic. What is realistic, now to take the other side, what is realistic are the fundamentals of setup. And I know I've been harping on this all winter, but I think those are realistic changes you can make. Because when you go to an indoor situation, like I've been, since I got back from Spain, where I sort of rekindled my golf muscles, I've been going a couple times a week to hit balls indoors. But I go to these facilities where they've got cameras and some have TrackMan, and I book it for 75 minutes. And in 75 minutes, I might hit, the other day, I might have got to 30 swings, maybe. And they were basically wedges and seven irons, because after every swing, I get to look at the camera and go, oh, is my setup what I want it to be? And then how did that affect my swing? But I'll tell you the truth, Timmer, I'm less concerned with my golf swing than I am with where's the ball? How does my body look in the setup that I'm trying to achieve? And then the swing is sort of tertiary. But I think those are realistic and achievable goals for your off season. And yeah, it's March now and you've got a couple months to go. So maybe as you start gearing up for the season, work with your coach, whether it's Tim or whoever it is, Mike Martz. It's Martz, right?
Yeah.
I like that guy. You know, he reached out to me when I was in Spain, and I was going to come and see him, and then I got back, and I got sick. So, Mike, if you're listening, I'm coming to say hi to you in April at some point.
There you go.
But that's what I think. I think those are achievable goals, and that's not saying you can't make some improvements, but big, big changes in your golf swing, I think, are very difficult.
I agree. I agree with pretty well everything you said. Now, this is going to sound like heresy, particularly for someone who coaches and takes money from people from, you know, November to beginning of May at a golf simulation place. But that ain't golf. It's not golf. And I mean, because golf is hitting the ball off one place and finding it in a different lie, and then you hit it, and then you find that the grass is growing against you, and then you find that the green is slow, and then the next time you go up there, I mean, every shot is different. And that's why simulator golf, I think you can take advantage of it like you're just describing by working on things like fundamentals. The problem is for the average player, it's not very much fun, but it just pays such dividends. That's why people who become fairly proficient at golf are deep golf nerds. They'll go the extra mile that the average person doesn't, because they understand making that investment in, like you were doing, setting up, seeing what that looks like, and then look it back on video. I mean, you gotta be just such a deep fucking golf nerd to do that.
I love it. By the way, I gotta laugh because that's really funny what you said. It's like there's not the fundamentals, there's not a lot of fun in them.
I mean, it's not.
But the fun comes, for me, the fun comes is I can see week over week, am I starting to sort of block in some of the fundamentals that I'm working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I work on with people a lot is just that setup so that they feel like they're athletic over the ball.
Yeah.
Feeling good. And like for me, that feeling is my quads are activated. It doesn't mean they're tense, but they're just kind of like I'm ready to go, and my glutes, my butt, I just feel angular, I feel ready to go, I feel grounded, I feel like, okay, this rocket ship is ready to take off. And
well, that's whenever we play together and you've been my partner in some tournaments, I look at you and I think, is that a rocket ship ready to go? that's exactly what I think. I say, my partner, rocket ship Tim. By the way, I just want to interrupt again. So I have a friend of mine, I've mentioned him on the show, Coach Paul Henrich, one of the most incredible golf nerds that I've ever met. He just came to watch me hit balls. We were hanging out, having breakfast, and I was doing my thing in the simulator thing, and then we were having breakfast. We had a nice time. Next day, he calls me up. He goes, "Hey, I was thinking about your golf swing yesterday." I said, "Really?" He said, "I just got one thing to tell you." He said, "You just don't seem like you've got any, like you're not sitting down enough." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, there's no..." I went back and looked at a couple of the videos. He's absolutely... I had no... My quads weren't engaged. I was standing up. I was standing up a little too tall, and just a little thing like that. Like, that is an achievable and realistic golf thing to work on. That's why I got so excited when you said it, because that's part of setting up correctly. You should feel some, almost like that. The way we used to describe it, it's the ready position, as though you're taking the snap from the center, or you're ready. You're in the ready position in volleyball, or you're at the free throw line. There's that bounce, and it engages your quads, your butt. It makes your rocket ship ready. That's what it is. It's something.
Again, coming back to what you were saying earlier, that's something you can control and you can actually notice.
Yes,
you can be aware of it. And the struggle that so many people have in golf is that they're swinging this golf club, and it goes fast, and you can't feel it.
Yeah.
That's the hard part of making changes to your golf swing. You don't feel what's actually happening. That's a topic for a whole other podcast about how you can feel what's going on. But when you work on your setup, you can actually feel that. And you can feel, okay, is my weight predominantly, say, in my toes, which means you're going to tip forward, or my heels, which you're going to fall back, or is it spread on your feet? Where is it sort of conversely, lead leg versus trail leg? And what works best in kind of a 60-40 thing, or even a 70-30? You can monitor all that. But, it's like, this goes back to Nicklaus. I think he said that something like 90% of the game is your setup. Actually, Everything that happens before you hit the ball, something like that.
He says, famously in his book, Golf My Way, before he became a Trump guy, he's a Trump guy now.
I know. Him and Gretzky.
Trump and Gretzky and Orr and Tiger. I don't care. Like, seriously, it's like, I don't care what you did before. Now you're supporting Orange Hitler, for fuck's sake. Anyway, back to golf. Nicklaus used to say that 98% of your golf swing happens before you take the club back. And we've said it on the show before, and I can tell you that most of my winter, I didn't touch a golf club. But once I got back into it a month or so ago, all I've worked on is that. And then it took my friend Paul to go, "Hey, great, your setup looks good. Ball position's great. Your tilts are good. Your eyes are in the right spot." Like, even that, like, I tend to sometimes, my head is tilted incorrectly. It's just a setup thing. My head is tilted back versus.
Okay.
Anyway, but a little thing like that, somebody pointed out to me, he saw that. And then also the fact that I didn't have any activity in my lower body. That's why in my text to you last night, there are lots of things our listeners, the STDs, can do that will impact what you want, which is to hit balls better without really changing much other than noticing how you set up versus a model. Find somebody whose swing you like and notice what they do in their setup and how different that is from what you do in your setup.
Yeah, I send guys to Rory, and I send women to Jessica Korda.
Oh my God.
I mean, oh my gosh. Just looks...
Jessica or Nelly?
Oh. Isn't Jessica the one who was winning everything last year?
Nelly. Jessica's her sister.
Oh, okay. Well, they both look pretty good when
they're pretty good when they hit. Yeah, they're both fine.
Yeah. Okay. So,
listen, it's okay to have a favorite, Tim.
Yeah, it's okay. But when people... One of the things that here's the first Fred Shoemaker reference of the day. Take a drink.
Hang on.
Thank you. One of the things that, so I'll always take video, not always, most of the time, slow-mo video just on my freaking iPhone, face on, down the line. And we'll look at the video, and I'll say to the student, I'll say, what surprises you? Rather than go straight to the place of, oh, I'm doing this wrong, what surprises you? And it's often in the setup what people notice things. And one of the most, two of the most common things are, is what you referenced, is one, setting up with your head well behind the ball, which presets most of your weight on your back, on your trail leg. So thus, you can't make a nice, you know, rotational swing and have that nice load up and that, you know, stretch those elastics in your back, you know, to snap forward. I had a student who was really struggling with his game, hitting the ball out to the right, hitting it fat. And we just looked at the video and I went, your head is so behind the ball. I said, where's your weight? And he went, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It felt like 80-20 trail leg to front leg.
Wow.
And once we got his head more on top of the ball and feeling more 60-40 lead to trail, his ball striking improved like that. So that's the difference that working on your fundamentals can make, is just, it just, you change your swing based on the target, but also on your fundamentals and your setup. And the other thing I just add really quickly, the really common thing for a lot of amateurs to do is to lean the shaft forward with an iron, almost so that like their hands are like in line with the lead thigh. And almost to a person and a man, their shoulders are tense and their left pec is really activated. Mm-hmm. So they're tense.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes it hard to swing. So if you just bring the club back to sort of the shaft, the grip is kind of pointing to the middle of your body, it just helps, again, with that athletic readiness, that feeling, that rocket ship feeling, instead of tension.
Well, listen, I don't know how many months away Sagin is, but when we get there, I'm going to say, I'm here registering the team of GSL and Rocket Ship Tim. That's where we are. Listen, man, that's all we got. I got nothing else. I could tell you a story. So we've been with TaylorMade. Sweet TaylorMade. We, you know, they're nice people. And we've been with them for 9 years.
That's right.
And the great thing is, we've had a great relationship. And we still heartily recommend TaylorMade products.
We do.
We do not recommend the people that snubbed us. And in the coming weeks and episodes, we will hint at who they are. Oh, it won't be hard to figure it out. But anyway, so the point I'm trying to make is, all these years, I've been using TaylorMade products, as have you, all the way through the bag. Nothing that wasn't TM. So this year, since we're not with TaylorMade and not with this other company that had a chance to be part of this wonderful program, I went and got fit. You're going to love this. I went and got fit and have purchased a lab putter, lie angle balance.
Ooh.
That literally is these cost this show. This next sentence will show you how old I am, because this putter literally cost the exact same amount of money I spent on my first car.
That's what I was going to ask.
I'm not even kidding.
Did you take out a second mortgage?
When I was a kid, a 16-year-old little Jewish boy from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and I saved up all my money working at the golf course and at Wilco, and I bought an Austin Mini. That was my first car. You know, I thought it was kind of cool. That's what every kid in Saskatchewan wants. I bought an Austin Mini. It was $900 in 1976. And the lie angle balance putter, the lab putter that I bought, was $876.
Wow. Did you buy the extended warranty, and did you have to take out an extra insurance policy?
I thought, seriously, when they told me how much it was, I'm like, does this come with a hand job? What is this? Is there a happy ending to this thing? So when
I play golf with you this year, I think it goes straight from the double locked trunk to the cart. And Tim, I'm going to go and get a coffee. You stay with the cart.
Yeah, you stay. No, I'm just going to handcuff myself to the putter. Now here's the good news. First of all,
you take it to lunch when you go in Glencairn.
I didn't get the The one that you see on TV with sort of the thing and the circle behind it. I got their latest version. It's called the OS one, I think. Whatever it is. And I can tell you where I got it from. They are not sponsoring us either. But Club Champion Club Fitters, they have this program where if you have clubs to turn in, like you can trade in clubs, they will give you, they'll take some money off your purchase. So I had a putter to trade in, and I had a driver to trade in.
Nice.
And in February, they had a promotion where they gave you the value of your trade-in plus 50%. So in the end, this $877 putter, I can't even say it, making me want to puke, ended up costing me almost nothing. I think my difference was $100.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Is Stan looking at your? Is Stan in the room on the couch going that you went? What, you spent that? You should. You could have bought me high quality dog food.
I do buy him high quality dog food. Although it's all just so gross. Does your dog eat wet food as well? Does he eat wet food or dry food?
We did wet food with the last one.
Yeah. Well, I did dry food with Stan up until about a year ago, and then I started putting some wet food in. The wet food is so fucking gross. It's just.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so. This will be the first non-tailor-made putting product that I've used in 9 years. So I'll be interested to see how it goes. I won't have it until April at some point. So anyway.
Hey, when do you head down to Mexico?
A week from, I'm going down on the 21st.
Nice. Now, is this is like all golf all the time?
No, sir. Trip? First week is all golf. It's my buddy from New Brunswick. I have a friend that lives in Mexico, is a golf nut. Actually, a big listener of the show. And my brother. So the first week, it's the four of us golfing. Oh, like, great. We're going to play like 5 or 6 times. And then the second week, my current lady friend will be joining us. And my buddy's wife and his kids are coming. So the second week is going to be, I think we're going to all go out as a group and play a 9-hole course once, but I don't think I'm going to be playing much the second week.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds lovely.
It is going to be lovely.
In Costa Rica in January. Know what it's like to feel that warm sun on your back.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Today I was saying before we officially hit record, 9 degrees here in Guelph, Ontario on Monday. It was like I felt so overdressed watching Freddie. Yeah. And then today it's a mere -4. Nothing. I was like freezing.
Well, oh, golly. What a great time to hang out. Appreciate you, Tim. Tim O'Connor, his new book is called Getting Unstuck. Well, it was new last year, but it's still new. If you haven't got it.
Newest.
Yeah, it's not like years ago. So go check out Tim's book. And all things O'Connor, including the Substack and that stuff, is at O'ConnorGolf.ca. And, of course, my other little program, which we... we'd love for you to listen to the odd time. It's called The Humble and Fred Show, and it's easily found everywhere you get podcasts. And that's it. Good luck to everybody. The next show we do will be the first show of season 10 of that's Swing right. Thoughts. And I actually, I have another client that we just got on The Humble and Fred Show. That I think we could. They're a company that makes car wash products. It's a company called Silver Wax. Mm. And I think if we need some giveaways for the STDs, I think they would supply it. So let me look at that. Not for a sponsorship, but just so we can give away some things to the nice people that listen to our show.
There you go. Absolutely. All right. And I'm hoping that we brought a little mirth to people listening to this to get their minds off the nonsense that's going on.
Well, I think we set a personal record for us swearing, which was fun. Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you. And you know what? It's a blessing. Gratitude, my friend, to be here with you.
And right back at you.
We'll see everybody in a few weeks. Everything.